Prys die Here, goeiemôre. Good morning everybody. Wie wil 'n chocolate? Wie wil Jenny 'n chocolate? Haai. Sien, is baie van ons wat wou chocolates gehad het, maar is baie van ons wat nie 'n beweging wou maak nie. Ons is baie keer so, as ons die woord van die Here ook ontvang, is dat ons wil baie graag verandering sien, maar ons wil nie 'n move maak nie. Ons wil bly waar ons is, maar ons wil hê alles moet verander. Sal nog iemand wat 'n chocolate wil hê? Ek wil vanoggend aansluit by wat Niels besig is om oor te praat en ek wil julle regtig encourage om reg dit wat die Here met ons gesels as 'n kerk, dat ons dit sal ernstig opneem, dat ons dit nie sal sien as klomp oulike boodskapies, paar koringkorreltjies, maar dat ons werklik in ons harte 'n sens sal hê dat dit is wat die gees van die Here besig is om met sy kerk, waarvan die Here ons deel gemaak het, dat dit is besig wat hy daar, en daar moet ons dit as kosbaar hanteer. I think we need to treasure the word of God. We need to handle the word of God with reverence. We need to handle it worshipfully. In other words, we say this is worthy to be meditated on. This is worthy to be considered. Dis die moeite werd om weer en weer te na gaan kyk. Dis die moeite werd om toe te pas. Dat ons nie net versamelaars wees van preke en preekreekse en in versies in die Bybel nie, maar dat ons werklik doeners en daders sal wees van die woord. That we will become doers of the word of God. En ek wil vir julle sê, mense vra baie keer vir mense, "Jesus Jan, waar kry jy die boodskappe?" Ek sê wel, ek luister maar net dit wat hulle op die oomblik in die kerk, wat die Here op die oomblik besig is in die kerk te doen, en dan gesels ek maar net nog maar die Here daaroor. Dis nie so mystical. Ons moet onsself bevry van hierdie ding dat daar sommige mense is wat miraculously woorde van die Here kry en hulle is predikers en die res van ons is canon fodder en weet jy, ons moet maar net die koringkorreltjies trek. God is, if we're a family and God is speaking to this family, then the words that he's speaking to this family is worthy to be considered and it's very important for you and for us. And so, ek wil vir julle sê dat ek gaan nie vreeslik iets nuuts sê vanoggend nie. Ek gaan julle herinner aan goed wat Niels gesê het, want ek dink die goed wat Niels die afgelope 2 weke oor gepraat het, is amazing. Ek dink dis so in die kol. En as jy vanoggend hier sit en so, o frik, wat het Niels gesê? Dan praat ek vanoggend met jou. Jy kry nog 'n kans. Weet jy, my pa het altyd vir my gesê, want hy het vir my gesê, Jan, die kortste potlood is langer as die langste geheue. En as ons werklik wil waarde put uit dit wat die Here deur sy gees met die kerk praat, is dit belangrik dat ons sal mediteer daarop. Dis belangrik dat ons dit oor en oor sal lees. Dis belangrik dat ons dit wat die Here vir ons gee, dat ons sal boekhou daarvan, dat ons bewus sal wees. As iemand vir ons vra, Jesusie, Heinrich, waarmee is die Here besig met jou? Dan sê jy soort van, wat? Huh? Die Here is my herder, niks sal my ontbreek nie. Nee, jy weet, want hy praat met jou, en jy luister, en jy praat met ander mense daaroor, en die Here gee vir jou, hy breek die woord oop soos wat jy tyd met hom spandeer. So, ek gaan vandag vir julle weer 'n klomp skrifte lees wat Niels al klaar gelees het. En dink, Jesus, Jan, kon jy 'n bietjie voorberei het nie? Dit was my voorbereiding. Ek wil gauw vir julle iets lees. Ek sien hoe baie maak ek so, dis bladsye hierdie. Dis wat Paulus praat met die kerk en hy sê vir hulle, en Heinrich het vanoggend terwyl ons gebid het, hy het die skrif ook gelees, dat daar's goed wat ons moet byvoeg by ons geloof, en baie van ons dink hier daaraan, dat daar's actually goed wat ons moet byvoeg by ons geloof. En as ons nie hierdie goed byvoeg by ons geloof nie, dan sê die woord vir ons, gaan ons nie vrug dra nie. En Niels het baie die afgelope tyd daaroor gepraat, en ek is seker ons gaan die volgende paar weke nog praat oor die feit in Johannes 15, waar het praat oor, dis hoekom ons geroep is. That's why we were called. We were called by the Father to bear fruit. We have not been called by the Father to escape hell. Krik, 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 krik. As ons net gered was om hemel te gaan, moet ons mense net lang doop. Die rede hoekom ons vanoggend asemhaal, die rede hoekom ons, the reason why we still have breath in our lungs, is because the Father has a purpose. The Father has a purpose to which He calls us. And if we live out that call and if we live out that purpose, who gets glorified? The Father gets glorified. That is why Jesus came. He says, I did not come to bring glory to myself. I've come to bring glory to the Father. And how is the Father glorified? The Father is glorified if we bear much fruit. So the bearing of fruit is not for a few. It is a call to us all to bear fruit. So that when that we shine our lights so before men, that people will see what? See what? The pastor's good works? Your favorite author's good works? No, your good works. Your good works. And what will happen if they see your good works? They will glorify the Father in heaven. Then we become like Jesus. Then we truly become like Jesus that says, it is my sustenance, it is my life, it is my food to do the will of the Father. Not just to know. You see, a lot of people think, and knowledge is good, and we see that one of the things that we need to add to our faith is knowledge. But a lot of people think that the more knowledge I acquire, the more the Father is glorified. That's not true. In fact, the Bible warns us against knowledge without action. It says that kind of knowledge only puffs us up. Het laat ons net beter as ander mense voel. Het laat ons net bietjie geestelik, net so klein bietjie beter as my broer of my sister voel. And that's not the heart of the Father. There is a call. And I want to start reading scripture. En ek wil julle aanmoedig dat as julle nie 'n pen het of as julle nie weet hoe julle notas op julle selfone werk nie, die kerkkantoor het recordings, hulle record hierdie boodskap en hoor my hart, julle hoef nie na hierdie een te luister, maar luister na Neil se twee boodskappe van die vorige weke. I want to say to you that if you read it, and if you meditate upon it, and if you ask God to really start enlightening you and growing this word on you, I want to say to you that this church will grow. You will grow. We will grow. And the Father will be glorified. I'm reading to you from 2 Peter in chapter 1. It says, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. So this morning, this is not a new sermon. This is a reminder. Maybe you've come here for a new sermon. I'm just going to remind you. He says, though you know them. So he says, Petrus, ek weet julle weet dit, maar ek wil dit net weer vir julle sê.
And I know that you know them, and yet you are established in the truth that you have. I think right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. I want to encourage us that when we sit and when we listen to a word, that we would open our hearts, that we would allow the words to stir us. That we would allow to say beforehand, God, I am here this morning to change. I am here this morning to, with humility, receive the implanted word that has the ability to save my soul. That is the attitude with which we should come to church. Not, kom ons gaan maar vanoggend bietjie kerk toe en ek hoop ek kry ietsie en daar's lekker koffie en ons sing 'n paar lekker liedjies, which is good. But how does the word of God and how does the moving of the Spirit of God, how does it change us more into the likeness of Jesus? Because that is ultimately our predestination. That is what God predestined before the beginning of time, that mankind would eventually be conformed to the very image of the Son of God. That is our call. That is our call, people. Now, I'm reading out of Peter this morning because we spoke a lot about what Paul said the past couple of weeks. And maybe you think that Paul had a thing. But I want to say to you that the Bible has a thing. And I'm going to read from Peter this morning. And he says this. His divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. So what have we been called to? To His own glory. We have been called to the glory of God. We have been called so that people, the Word of God, in Isaiah it says, and the glory of the Lord will be seen upon you. Jesus Himself said, because many people, when you start speaking about the glory of God, they quote that one scripture that said that God will share His glory with no other. And then they say, no, the glory is God. But you've got to know that Jesus said, when He prayed to the Father in John chapter 17, He said, I have given them My glory. The glory that You have given Me, I have given them. Who's them? It's us. It's the disciples that He was praying for, but He also said, I'm not only praying for these, but also for everyone that would believe. So the glory of Jesus has been given to us. The glory of Jesus is part of our inheritance. He said, I'm going to give them this glory. Why? So that they can be glorified. No, I'm going to give them My glory so that they can be one. Without the glory of God, we can try as we like. We can have events. We can have verses that we quote. If we do not partake of the glory of God, we will never come to the oneness and the unity that Neil spoke about, that the unity between the Father and the Son, the unity in the Trinity, we can only come to that unity if we partake of the glory of Jesus. And His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to His life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world because of sinful desire. Now listen to this. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement or to add to your faith virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing. So I'm not standing here this morning. Ek staan nie vanoggend en sê, niks van hierdie goed. Julle het niks van hierdie goed nie. Soos Petrus sê, Julle weet hierdie goed en julle is al klaar gevestig in hierdie goed, maar hier sê hy ook dat hierdie goed moet in julle wees, maar het moet die hele tyd vermeerder. So daar is nooit die dag wat ek werkelijk kan sit en sê, maar ek het nou, I've arrived, you know, I don't have to grow anymore. I don't need more self-control. I don't need more steadfastness. I don't need more brotherly affection. I don't need more love. Peter says here to the believers, and he encourages the believers, he says, this is already in you, and it must increase. So every one of us, it doesn't matter how long you've served God, it doesn't matter how short you've served God, there is an opportunity to increase in these wonderful qualities. And listen to the impact of this. Increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. Who wants to be effective in the kingdom of God? Who wants to be fruitful? There. It says if those qualities are not established in us, if those qualities, if we do not ask continually, God, come Holy Spirit, come and show me. Come, God, teach me. I want to change, God. I want to develop these qualities in my life. God, I want this to increase. If I have self-control now, Father, increase my self-control. Father, if I have knowledge, come and increase my knowledge. I want to know more. I want to know you more. And we can pray that prayer whether we've been serving God for an hour or for 80 years. Because in God, there's always more. There's always more. And it says that if we pursue these things, what will happen? We will become effective. We will become fruitful. What happens if we are fruitful? The Father receives glory. The Father receives glory. Now, ek wil net iets sê oor hierdie roeping, the call of God. In Ephesians 1, it says, when Paul prays that, he says that he prays for the church that God would grant them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge. He's praying for believers. He's not praying for unbelievers. He's praying for people like you and me. He said, God, grant to them, to every one of them, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Then he says, God, flood the eyes of their understanding. Not give them a little bit. He says, God, flood the eyes of their understanding with light. So that they can do what? So they can see the hope of your calling. They can know. They can know by experience. Not just knowledge, but knowledge with experience. They can know the hope of whose calling? His calling. Before we can know, before you can know what your calling is, you've got to know His calling. Because your calling, how unique and how special and how incredible or how big or how small, if it's not connected to His great calling, then you're just pursuing your own. So we need to understand that my calling and your calling is great. It's amazing because God has given it. And God has placed something in you. And God has placed something in each one of us. I want to say to you, there's not one person here, if you are in Christ, that does not have something to offer to the body of Christ. Some big, some small. When Paul and when Peter, when they write about this gifting, it's always in the context of a body. Now, in my body, I have different organs. I have different cells. And in elkeen van hulle het 'n baie unieke funksie. Maar op hulle eie beteken hulle niks. As hulle nie saamwerk nie, is dit eintlik skadelik. As ek my oog wat baie belangrik is om te kan sien. Ek het al twee oë nodig om bietjie dieptepersepsie. As ek nou die een uithaal en ek haal my oog uit en ek sit hom een keer aan en ek bestudeer my oog en ek besef hoe amazing my oog is en hoeveel senuweepunte daar is en hoeveel bloedvate daar is en die proses van hoe ek moet sien. Maar as ek daai oog een kant hou, beteken hy oog niks. Daai oog, it must be connected to the rest of my body. It's got to be connected to my heart. It's got to be connected to my brain. It's got to be connected to my nervous system. It's got to be connected and it's got to operate together. Otherwise, it's useless. And therefore, the call that God has on our lives is always about the relationship that it has to the body of Christ.
Niels het laas week gepraat oor Nehemia, wat die muur gebou het. Die mense wat besig was om aan die muur te bou, die eerste ding wat hy gesê het, bou elkeen van julle voor julle eie huis. Nou, dis baie wys. Want in daai dae het die muur rondom 'n stad het te maak gehad met die veiligheid van die stad. As daar nie mure en hekke was nie, is hulle oop gewees vir aanvalle van enige vyand en het was maklik vir die vyand om in te kom. Maar daar moes 'n muur wees, maar Nehemia was baie slim en hy het gesê vir elke familie, ok, bou voor julle eie huis. Want hy het geweet, die ou gaan goed bou voor sy eie huis. Hy het geweet, hier gaan hy nie 'n paar shortcuts probeer nie, want as die vyand hier inkom, is dit my familie eerste. Maar die mense moes ook besef, dat my bouwerk is nutteloos, as Heinrich wat langs my bou, nie bou nie. Want jy kan die beste muur hier voor jou huis bou, maar as die ou langs jou nie bou nie, ek het nou die dag wat op YouTube het ek so'n klip gesien, en dis 200, dis so'n paar honde aan die een kant, en een hond aan die ander kant, en hulle blaf mekaar dier die hek, en eweskielik begin die hek oopgaan. En hierdie honde beweeg so saam met die hek, en hulle blaf verskriklik vir mekaar, en eweskielik is die hek oop. Toe weet die honde nie meer wat om te doen nie. So, as ons besig is om te bou, as jy besig is om die roeping wat die Here op jou lewe gesit het, om dit na te streef, om dit uit te vind wat dit is, is dit belangrik dat jy sal besef, hoe pas dit in? Hoe pas dit in dit wat my broers en susters doen? Hoe pas die gawe wat ek het, hoe pas dit in by die gawe wat Isaac het? Hoe pas dit in met die roeping wat Katja het? Hoe pas dit in? Anders is ons allemaal net besig op ons eie mission. En ons verstaan nie dat die beskerming van die stad, the safety of the city, has to do with the relationships. Die mense moes onthou waar hulle vandaan gekom het. Die mense moet onthou het, die tye toe die muur daar was, is ons beskermd gewees. En toe is Jerusalem plat gevee, en die hekke is gebrand, en die muur is afgebreek, en die mense, hulle het gestruggel, want die vyand kon net inkom en doen wat hulle wil. En hier kom Nehemia, en hy sê, ok, ons moet 'n muur bou, die Here sê ons met 'n muur om die stad bou. Toe moes die mense onthou, dat elke keer as hulle bou, moet hulle geweet het, ons bou met 'n rede. Ons bou nie omdat dit Nehemia se vision is nie. We're not building this thing because it's Nehemiah's vision. The same in church. Your contribution of your gift and your call and whatever God wants you to do, it's not to support Niels's vision. It's not even to support Shofar's vision. This should be ours. If this is your house, then what God is doing here and what you are doing should somehow be connected to this house and be done in working together with this house. Nou, daar was ander tye wat, nadat, as jy gaan lees in Nehemia, is daar die ouens het die muur gebou en het voor hulle eie huis gebou, maar daar was ook plekke waarop ander plekke gaan bou. En toe kon hulle sê, nee, ek gaan nie op die ander plekke bly, ek bou net hier by my eie huis. Because that there was a need outside of their own households as well. So, daar is 'n plek vir bediening, daar is 'n plek om te gaan minister by ander plekke behalwe hier in die huis. Ons kan nie net een of net die ander een doen nie. Want ons moet die groter prentjie sien. We must see the hope of His calling.
to find the purpose of our calling.
Maar hier wil ek vir julle sê dat elkeen van julle het 'n purpose, het 'n doel, daar's 'n rede hoekom God julle in hierdie huishouding geplaas het. Dis nie omdat jy naby bly nie.
There's a reason. It doesn't make it better than any other house. It just means that God placed you here for a reason. En vir jou om werklik vervul te raak en deel te wees, is om jou deel by te dra. En hier wil ek vanoggend iets sê oor ministry, want sodra ek die woord ministry gebruik het, want in Ephesians in Ephesians when Paul speaks about the fivefold ministry, he says it's for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. En dadelik is al klomp mense wat dink, nee, ministry, dis vir ek is nie geroep vir ministry nie. Ek weet nie waarvoor ek geroep is nie, maar ek is definitief nie, want dis daai groot woord. Dis daai ouens wat voltyds is. Die ouens wat voltyds is, quote unquote, is eintlik die ouens wat gelowig is. Wie van julle is gelowig? Okay. As julle nie seker is nie, kan ons vir julle bid na dit. Maar is om jy gelowig is toe te rus, om julle te help om dit wat die Here julle voor geroep het en wat die Here in julle gesit het by te dra. Wie van julle kan serve, kan dien? Almal kan dien. Dis waarvoor jy toegerus moet word. Is dienswerk. Ons moet ontslaa raak van hierdie idee in ons koppe. Ja, ek kan nie minister nie, ek was nog nie in 'n Bybelskool nie. Ek het nog nie 'n kursus gedoen nie. Ek weet nie genoeg van die Bybel nie. Ons kan almal dien. We can all serve. We can all have brotherly affection. Ons kan almal vir die Here vra. Here, gee my net liefde. Gee my liefde. Sit u liefde in my hart, Here. We can all do that.
Ek wil weer 'n skrif lees wat Niels gelees het in Johannes 15 vers 7. John 15, sorry, from verse 10. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Voordat jy vir God gekies het, het hy jou gekies. Jy's gekies. Jy's gekies. En wie het jou gekies? Nie jou ma, jou pa nie, nie jou beste pel nie. The creator of all creation. God himself chose you. Maybe people don't understand you, but God does. Die Here weet, hy het in elkeen van ons, het hy 'n stukkie van hom gesit. In elkeen van ons, het hy 'n stukkie van hom gesit. Dis een van die goed wat Paulus bid in Efesiërs, wat hy sê, granted them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, flood the eyes of their understanding with light, that they might know the hope of your calling, and that they might know the incredible riches that he has deposited in the superstar pastors. No, in every saint. Jy het iets in jou wat hierdie kerk nodig het. Jy het iets in jou wat die persoon langs jou nodig het. Wie het dit gekies? Een of ander slim guru? Nee. God himself chose you. And he not only chose you, but it also says that he appointed you. Do you realize you've been appointed? For what? Everyone. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go. And bear fruit. See, there's that thing again about the fruit. If we don't cultivate all those other stuff, as is nie alle ander goed gaan werk aan en sê, Here, werk dit deur die Gees in my nie, Here, ek wil dit nastreef, dan gaan ons unfruitful wees. Maar hier sê dat ons, we've been appointed to go and to bear fruit. That's your call. It's bearing fruit. And he says, and that the fruit will remain. Nie a flash in the pan, nie een sondag in 'n maand. Jy sê, ewesklik het ek self-control nie. But cultivating self-control that remains and increases so that we will bear. Why are we pruned? Hoekom word ons gesnoei? Want ons sleg is? Nee, die woord sê die Vader vat die takke wat reeds vrug dra, die snoei hy, hoekom? Om hulle te straf? Nee, sodat hulle meer en beter kwaliteit vrug kan dra. So daai vrug kan vermeerder, dat die vrug van die Gees en die vrug wat ons dra as ons die woord van die Here doen, as ons doers, if we are doers of the word and not just hearers, we bear fruit that brings glory to the Father. So dis nie 'n disipelskap program, kyk hoeveel kursusse kan ons deurwerk, hoeveel boeke kan ek lees, hoeveel versies kan ek onthou nie. It's a bit more than that. It's a bit more. Jesus did not come to die to make the earth a smoke-free zone. Weet, solank ons net nie rook nie en drink nie en rondslaap nie. Jesus came for more than that. He came for more than that. And who does he want to use? Wie? You can point to yourself. He chose me. Wow, you've been chosen. If you're a passionate rugby player and you feel that you have a little bit of talent and you play provincial rugby and you get a call up to the national team. I know it's not so big nowadays anymore, but a couple of years back. But if you get chosen, do you think, I'll see if I don't know whether I should go to the trouble to go to the training camp. No, you go to the training camp because you've been chosen, you've been honored. Die roeping van die Here moet vir ons 'n eer raak. Moet vir ons 'n voorreg raak. Nie 'n job nie. Nee, 'n klomp goedjies wat ons moet doen sodat ons goed kan voel oor onsself en ons christenskap. You've been called with a purpose. And the one who called you, he's faithful. Ja, maar Jan, ek ken nie die Bybel nie of ek hoe wat, you are God's workmanship. I want to encourage you this morning. You are God's workmanship. And we're all under construction. We're all under construction. None of us has been made perfect yet. So we're all under construction. But who is busy working on you? God, the one who chose you, the one who appointed you to bear fruit, is the very one that says, I'm working on you. You are my workmanship. Therefore, when we look at one another and we want to criticize one another's spiritual lives, we are actually criticizing God. We are actually accusing God. You're not working fast enough. Look at him. Look at her. We have been created. We are the workmanship of God that has been created for what? Good works. Beforehand, there are good works waiting for you. There are good works waiting for you to walk in. Led by the Holy Spirit.
This morning, as Edna was speaking about that quick obedience, remember, and Entus is going to, in a week or two, he's going to start preaching on the connection between love and obedience. Because we all claim to love God. And in the Word, there's a big correlation. God says, prove your love to me by obeying. So there's this, God has created every one of you for good works. He has chosen you. He has appointed you. He has empowered you by His Spirit. Everything that you need for those good works to walk in, He has given you. He has given you His Holy Spirit. He has given us His Holy Spirit so that we can be led by the Spirit and so fulfill the will of God and so bear fruit that brings glory to the Father. So do not ever, ever, I want to encourage you this morning. I want to admonish you. I want to plead with you to never think less of yourself than God does. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are the workmanship of God. So give yourself to the process. Give yourself to the process. In God, there are very few, very, 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 very few instant overnight successes. Even Jesus, whose ministry time on earth spanned about 3 years, and he was about 33. He was about 30 years. Jesus, 30 years. Apostle Paul, amazing revelation, got revelation straight from heaven, 14 years in the Arabian desert. So there's a process. There's a process. But you don't wait until it's all finished and then you start. You have a purpose now. You have value now. And to devalue yourself, to say I'm not that important in this body, is to not understand the workmanship of God. You must understand your value. You are so valuable that Jesus died for us so that we can be conformed to the image of the Son. Yes, we were defiled and deformed and distorted by sin and made bad. But in Christ Jesus, we have been redeemed because of the value. And now you have in Christ, not because of you, but because of Christ and because of His indwelling Spirit, you have incredible value. That's why you need to pray for one another and thank God. The first thing that you do when you pray for a brother and sister is not to accuse them or remind God about their sin, but to thank God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God, for this brother and sister. I thank you, God, the good work that you started, you will complete. Yes, Lord, he is struggling at the moment, or she is struggling at the moment, or that couple is struggling at the moment, but I know that you are faithful. Even if we are faithless, the Word says, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. God is more committed to you being conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, than you can ever be. This morning, I want to encourage you. The process of God is not some works program that He sends us on to prove how much we love Him. But it is the very process by which He is busy conforming us to the Son, Jesus Christ. And if you are in Christ, that work has started. It's to a measure, it is up to you whether you will submit yourself to that process and say, God, just don't stop with me until you've done everything that you want to do. Here moet dit asseblief nooit stop nie. Voordat u nie u volmaakte werk in my volëindig het. En tot daai dag, Here, gaan ek my in elke geleentheid, in elke oomblik, wil ek sê, hierso is ek, Here. Kom Heilige Gees. En hier is die beauty van die Here.
is ons is baie keer negatief, en ek gaan nie meer afsluit, ons is baie keer negatief, en ons is so bewus van dit, wat nog nie gebeur het nie. Wie van julle voel, ja maar, I'm not there yet. We do feel like that. And that's true. But we are better than we used to be. We are better than we used to be. But if we get out of the process, what some people call backsliding, is then we are worse than we used to be. So as long as we stay in the process, as long as we allow this process and God to work in us to will and to do according to whose good pleasure? His good pleasure, not mine. His good pleasure. We can be confident that He will complete the work that He has started. But you need to understand that He wants you to cooperate. How wonderful would it have been if He just worked in us regardless of our participation. Maak nie saak wat ons doen nie, Hy maak ons net heel dag niet. En so, wie van julle hoop het gewend het liever so gewerk? Hierdie magic wand en dan, boom, so is perfect. But it doesn't. Doesn't. There's a process of this call. But we need to understand that we are part of a bigger call. We need to understand the bigger call. Otherwise, we will think our calling is all about ourselves. It's about my fame. It's about my name. It's about my popularity. It's about my effect. It's about my, me and I. The unholy trinity. Me, myself and I. We need to understand that there is this loving God that has called us. He chose us. You are chosen. Just point to the person next to you and say, you're chosen. You're chosen. Not only were you chosen, but you were chosen with a purpose. You were appointed. You can tell the person next to you, you've been appointed. You've been appointed. You have an appointment. You have a purpose. And that purpose is to bear fruit. To bear fruit. Amen. Praise God. I want to encourage you to just go and meditate upon that. Just go and meditate. I've been chosen, man. Who chose me? Not any Tom, Dick, and Harry. It's God. He knows everything. He made the whole of creation, and yet He said, sure, I'm going to take Heinrich, I'm going to choose him. I'm choosing him, and I'm appointing him so that he will bear fruit that will give me glory. Amen? Amen. Who wants to give glory to God? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Father, I thank You that Your Spirit is one that reminds us of the things that Jesus commanded us. And reminding means repetition. So Father, I pray and I thank You this morning that by Your Spirit You have once again come. And You've just reminded us again this morning about stuff that we most probably know and have gotten too used to. But I thank You this morning that we can revel in this privilege, this absolute privilege and honor that You have chosen us individually and You have chosen us corporately to bring glory to Your name, to show forth Your praises, God, to represent Your kingdom, to be ambassadors of Your kingdom. Father, I pray that the beauty of that and the honor and the privilege would even outstrip, would be joy set before us. That even if we go through this process, and sometimes the process is hard and painful, Even if it requires discipline, as Jacobet said this morning and read this morning. That we will set this joy set before Him. We've been appointed. I've been chosen. We have been called together to show forth the praises and the wonders of our beautiful God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. I just sense this morning, maybe this morning I just want eyes to be closed. But if you sense this morning, and I lost sight of the honor of serving Jesus. It's just become hard and a slog to me and a lot of stuff that needs to be done. And this morning, the Lord is just placing it on my heart again. It's honor. That you just put your hand on your heart. And where you are, just stand before the Lord and say, thank you, God, for this honor of being chosen by you. Thank you, Lord, for this honor and privilege to be appointed by you and empowered by you to bear fruit. If that's you this morning, won't you just stand to your feet with your hand on your heart and just start thanking God for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Wow. 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 I thank you, Lord, for the beauty of this household. Wow. Father, I pray that as we look to one another, that we would not regard one another after the flesh, but after the Spirit, and realize that we are your workmanship. It's you that's working in us. It's you that's working in us, willing and doing according to your good pleasure. Let it be joy set before us, God. And not all work, work, work. Effort, effort, effort. Hard work, hard work, hard work. Let us see the honor. Let us see the honor. Even when you discipline and chastise you, it is because you love us. Because you love us. Not because you're trying to punish us. Not because you're trying to show us how bad we are, to make us feel bad, but that you love us. You love us. You love us. And you're not going to stop. You're not going to stop. You're not going to stop. Grant us the grace and the wisdom and the conviction to say yes to your process, God. To say yes to your process, God. To say yes to the work of your Spirit in us and through us, that you will be glorified and you will receive glory. Amen and amen.